Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another edition of Rural Routes, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday anyway. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between rural and urban America. Tuesday across the pond version, meaning that Andrew Henderson is here all cheery. Jay Truitt is, I don't have a clue what Jay Truitt is, coming to us from Southwest.
Oh, where he is.
Well, I'm on my way to D.C. Yeah, I'm on my way to D.C., though.
You lost a bet, or why would you go to D.C.?
Money.
I don't know what I'm going to go protest, but there's certainly some reason for me to protest in D.C. So I'm on my way there. I figure it's probably the most dangerous place in America to be a conservative. I may protest just the fact that people hate me.
Here's the ignorant protester of the week award. We should just give an ignorant protester of the week award every week. Some lady, I don't know who it is. I don't want to know. Is in front of the state capital of Nebraska in Lincoln, holding a sign that includes a clothes hanger that says, "Screw you, I'll take my own abortion." Oh, no, I'll do it myself. I'm like, go for it. Are you that stupid? Do it.
You didn't need to, like, tell me that ahead of time.
I've seen other ones like that. I've seen, if you want an abortion, just have your booster.
Yeah.
That's one of the other ones I've seen. So that's an interesting slant on it all, isn't it, eh?
I think it's a bit, this whole conversation has become a little bit interesting, right? This is about the third time now over the last 2 or 3 years that there's been a threat of a sex strike, right? And the funny thing is, right, is that I don't know whether it caught on or not. And I don't know any guy that has ever mentioned that anything changed in the world, right? So apparently, that whole strategy just doesn't work very well. I don't know who to blame or give credit to or what, but if you think you're going to piss off a bunch of right-wing Christians because we're going to just stop having sexual relations outside of marriage, I'm not for sure that that's like the right tactic. It's a little bit like giving a kid more candy if he'll stop being fat, you know?
Yeah.
And you go like, okay, yeah, bring on the sugar cookies, baby. So they become so detached from reality that they don't even understand who the opposition to them are at this point.
You know, on a very serious note, though, that's what's made this past 7 days so good as far as I'm concerned, because people, when they know they're losing an argument, they tend to do very irrational things, and we are seeing some very irrational replies from all over the world that are doing nothing but, as has been suggested before, making people aware that something is very wrong, not least, you know, Castro Trudeau. You know, him saying he supports my body, my choice, is, you know, that's like an alcoholic, you know, saying that he's never going to have a drink again. It's really, really ridiculous. You know, the guy that's literally taking the freedom away from his people regarding their body and their choice, actually saying the opposite. It's hilarious. And people are seeing it for what it is. You know,
The other day... But it's, I mean, to that point, though, I had a guy, a male, actually scream in my face, right? Like, he was part of that Hillary Clinton lost crowd, that my opinion didn't matter because I was a man. And this is a guy is a dude. I go, so who gets to decide that? You? And he just looks at me and screams again, you know? I thought, you've just lost it now, son.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, and I think that is the funniest thing, that it, democracy to some people is only of any use until you don't agree with them.
Yeah, right.
And then it's not a then it's a problem. And I think that's where I found this last week very interesting, because when you actually dig into what's actually been said, it's actually obvious democracy. It's really good decisions by these judges on every single action that they've taken. And not and that's nothing to do with right wing. They're just implementing that little book that Trent likes to show everybody. And they're doing it right down the middle, right. And I think that's so good, because the rest of the world can then debate that. And they'll come down on the side of right once they debate it.
Well, and I know that there's this like never ending conversation. I started every time I get a chance as well about how the media just gets this all wrong, right? And you guys were talking about in an earlier thing today about how headlines don't really represent the story, or they just mislead you to the point that a lot of people don't read the story. Well, the same is true for this whole conversation about what the Supreme Court said in the Roe v. Wade ruling, right? Yeah. And there's a whole bunch of things. There's a whole bunch of magic words, DC magic words, right? Trigger words that trigger people to respond that got mentioned as well. They talked about gay marriage. They talked about birth control issues, et cetera, et cetera. But I will almost guarantee you that I've yet to hear anyone really honestly on the conservative or the liberal side that I believe honestly really read what that opinion was in context and what he and what Alito was.
I gotta tell you, I go out of the way to read those things, Jay, but in this case I'm guilty. I've not done that.
Yeah, me too. But I did read just enough to put those comments in context, and all of this conversation about how there's going to be some big GOP effort to like put all these bunnies back in boxes. Maybe you like that, and maybe you don't. I'm just going to tell you from a DC perspective, that is number one, not what he said. Number two, there is no GOP plan to do that I've seen. And, It's silly. It's kind of just silly talk, right? But he makes a really valid point, and this is that point. And then I'll leave this alone. But literally, it is that Alito's comment really says states should have been controlling these issues all along. This court, our court, has overstepped its bounds for decades, and we need to get right. We need to get back on the right track of who decides what. If these are not constitutional issues, you don't have a right to be married. That's not one of the rights guaranteed by the Constitution, whether you're gay or not. That decision wasn't about whether gay people could get married. It was whether or not the Constitution protected gay people to get married. Well, the Constitution doesn't protect that. I think we may come back and see the court challenge a bunch of those things. And Andrew, this is my final point is this. Remember when we had the conversation about how the pendulum swings, right? And you got to catch it at the right momentum. This is the moment when finally you see us coming back to the states having the rest of that authority. And that's what we really have been waiting for. If there was no other win out of Donald Trump than that, it's well worth it for us to get back to states doing what states do.
I saw Kara Lake this morning on a clip tear what I would call a rhino conservative apart over Roe versus Wade. And what was really, really brilliant was, and this is the message I've had on it, she was very articulate. She's a very good presenter. And she said, look, in 1973, an abortion, was quite a big operation. But there was a lot less familiarity with birth control and various other things that people can do to protect themselves against becoming pregnant. These days, really, becoming pregnant is a mistake in many instances. And she said, and for that reason, we need to allow on a regular basis the people, the individual people, men and women in states to decide what the legal requirements for abortion need to be. And so as not to have organ harvesting, for example, potential, where people could be persuaded to do things with a pregnancy that incur an operation right before birth. All those things, because we all know this present jab, for example, included fetal material in its experimental phase.
Yeah.
Now,
Andrew, I got to roll. Roll route. We'll be back with more. Jay Truitt, Andrew Henderson after this. It's going to be a busy weekend. Gold Buckled Tack, Treva Beard's going to be at the Mandan Rodeo. Amanda Radke now has tumblers and t-shirts on her website for the event in Keystone, Bridging America. Go to AmandaRadke.com and check out the tumblers and t-shirts that say, God bless the veterans and the farmers who feed us. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Lewis alongside Andrew Henderson, Jay Truitt. Andrew, I don't think people are genuinely in tune with the selling of fetuses, the selling of body parts that takes place. There's just too many people are oblivious to that.
Well, I didn't really know about that until I tried to figure out why it was that some of your states would be stupid enough. The danger, not just to, a baby can be born 8 weeks either side, even more, I believe, of a pregnancy day. So to actually take the life of a baby, a healthy baby, because a mother decides a week before to have an abortion, I can't think of any other than a severe disability that's going to make the life of that baby painful or something like that. I can't for the life of me believe there could be any reason why anybody would do that unless there is some form of recompense available financially. So that's why when I listen to our prime minister or the French president say it's terrible what's happened in America, we're all at 16 weeks maximum for abortion. These people just barefaced lied to the whole world. You are way ahead of that and have been for a while in certain states. And all I can say is that decision, whether you're religious or not, in my opinion, was the right decision for the whole world. And that's my view.
I'm going to take this and continue a different direction, although with the same premise. And this is happening in our church, and I know it's happening in all denominations around the world, not just the United States. This is precipitating an acceleration of the division within the church, because we have the Methodist Church, we have the Catholic Church, who are all promoting things acceptable that are not acceptable in the Bible. And it's not, I don't think it's a coincidence, either one of you, Jay, that we now see that acceleration. I'll just, for example, the United Methodist Church, which Kelly and I got married in, we've been members of for 29 years. They're now at the point where we're going to divide. And you can be gay, and you can have gay marriages, homosexual marriages in your church. You can do all of these other things. Or you're part of the other branch, and you got to make this decision. Guys, it just comes back to what the Bible says and follow the Ten Commandments. It's that simple. And I see where this Roe versus Wade decision has all of a sudden put the accelerator down on the division within the church as well. And that's significant because it's only been 4 days.
Yeah. I think
the Pope has not committed himself. Some of his cardinals have, but the Pope hasn't committed himself to this. It's frightening. But I am concerned that we don't embrace everybody, Trent. There are some people. I hope religion finds a way to embrace everybody's feelings. I really do, because I think that's a true religion. That's just my own personal view.
My personal view is that the Bible is the ultimate truth. You can't embrace, you can embrace the people, you don't embrace their actions. And you certainly don't have the individuals in the church that are leaders who are in violation of what the Bible says is holy. Jay, you were going to say something and you got interrupted.
Yeah, no, back to your point and a little bit of what Andrew just said. So I guess I was just I'm trying to think. I want to make sure I'm crystal clear about how I say this. One sin's not worse than another until you get to the point that you're actually defaming God by virtue of your actions, right? And that is something that's been repeated a lot in history, time and time and time again, by quote unquote religion and quote unquote churches, as opposed to people who express that they have a certain belief. And I have come to kind of just almost ignore this, this man organized, structure, to a large part, literally because I just see that people put themselves in front of God. And honestly, it's just it's idolatry in some respects to do that. It's worshiping somebody before you worship God. And if that's what you're about, that's what you're about. Let's just be clear what you're about though. And understand that that we're probably not in the same sect anymore. Now we're as separate as we could be. It's as different as Islam and Christianity in many respects, if not more so, honestly. And so,
well,
I mean, I've been in meetings with really ugly Islamic extremists. And they'll lay a gun on the table in the middle of a negotiation and ask you if you're a Christian, right? Mm-hmm. And what they're really trying to figure out from people like me that kind of have, you know, when I spend a lot of time in the sun, I turn a whole different color. And I used to get asked, and it was literally to try to figure out if I was one of the fallen ones, if I was of a different sect inside their religion, et cetera, et cetera. And that was how they, you know, enforced it. Christians were actually fourth on their list because they literally think we're so weak. It's not even funny. We're a pitiful bunch that falls for anything.
You need to admit as well that within the Christian faith, there are numerous churches and they don't all have the same text of the Bible that perhaps you have. And so you have Catholics, Protestants, Methodists, Baptists, United Reformed. You have a whole group already of divisions within the Christian church as well as within the Muslim church. And that's why, in my personal view, you can worship God in any way, which way you want, provided you do. I agree with Trent. Try to do good to fellow man and do right by the God that you believe in. The issue I have is that, you know, the Bible is a guide. I would accept that, but it's not a book of laws. I don't see it as that. It's not a law.
Correct.
That's my personal view. It's not a law.
I just like leave it as the ultimate truth.
I think
the ultimate truth, but you look at what the Supreme Court did. Is they did the right thing. They said, you know, you do have a right to defend yourself. I personally, it's changed my view on many things, this Supreme Court. I think you've got a very good Supreme Court because you do have a right to defend yourself and you do have many other rights, one of which is the right to freedom. It seems to me that it's a real contradiction in terms when people think that the unborn have absolutely no rights. I find that extraordinary. You know,
as if
you can be that.
Hey, yeah. And listen, I will just say that I think the court is going to come out with one more decision that will literally make the last liberal in America finally just melt like a candle in a wood stove. And that is the decision that EPA overstepped its bounds in this whole climate in these climate studies and their declarations of what was impacting the climate. And this boils back, it really goes back to George Bush in a declaration that CO2, you know, was a hazardous toxic component in the climate, of which we don't have life on Earth without lots and lots and lots of CO2. And so,
and the challenge is coming to the Supreme Court is coming out of Texas, nonetheless.
Right. Yeah. And so, it's kind of a funny twist, right? I mean, everything ends up going, but again, I think, so I hadn't thought about the point that Trent did. That's one of them I got to think about for a while. That's one of those things to like kind of ponder while I'm driving down the road and while I'm traveling around over the next several weeks. But I will say this, the biggest thing that happened is this establishment that there are things the federal government doesn't do. And it's perceived by the media as reversing decisions. That's really not right. What they said. What they said was, this is not our business.
States
that's
rights.
The win.
That's the
that's
win.
That's the win.
That's the win. We got to take a break. And then we'll win some more in the second half of Roll Route after this. When I have over the years shared the information because people want to be critical of nitrates, people want to be critical of estrogen, I'll tell people that you're worried about your bacon or your ham because it's cured and it might have nitrates, but you flock to eating leafy greens because leafy greens are the highest level of nitrate possible. And you know what the first question that person always asks me? How do they get them in there? How do they get them in there, Nathan?
Well, they're cured, right? They're cured vegetables. And vegetables actually cure many diseases. So just like your bacon's cured, you know, I wrote a paper called Nitrite, the Cure for Chronic Disease. So just like nitrite, nitrate cure meat and prevent, you know, lipid oxidation and prevent, you know, food spoilage and bacterial infections or bacterial overgrowth in the food, they do the same thing to us. They cure a lot of things because they improve nitric oxide, they improve oxygenation, they prevent oxidation, inflammation, and immune dysfunction.
You want to live a cured life? Take a nitric oxide supplementation every day like I do. NO2U.com. It's NO2U.com. Put Trent as your coupon code and you win big favors because you get free shipping and a 10% discount. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, Andrew Henderson, Jay Truitt. And before I go into hibernation again here and just run the buttons, which I'm fine with, I think I'm very humored, Andrew, and I'm going to lump you into this category. 1 year ago today, there was not a conservative saying a kind word about the U.S. Supreme Court. It was, what is wrong with this corrupt Supreme Court is awful. Oh, we got to replace it. We need to get rid of it. And then we confirm the most liberal person you could possibly put on a Supreme Court. And now all of us conservatives are talking about, man, this Supreme Court, they got it going on. This is the ultimate law of the land. It's awesome. That's a bit hypocritical.
Well, it is true. But that liberal's not on that Supreme Court there yet, I might add. But the other thing that I would say to you about that is that I now get, you said to me, you've got to understand our Constitution. Well, I am starting to understand your Constitution. And what it's telling me is that when I thought they should be acting on election fraud, this is the prime example of saying to the state legislators, if you have a problem and you think you've got enough evidence, it's your job as state legislators to take that evidence and to start to indict people. And I think that's the lead that people are now going to take because they're going to realize what the role of the Supreme Court really is. And that's what's isolating the Biden regime. People are now realizing that the Biden regime, right when it needs to have, when people are now questioning everything that Joe Biden and his puppet masters have done, the Supreme Court has held that baton up and said, this is what you have to do, folks. Now go away and do it. And I think we're about to see that happen. That's my personal view.
That's interesting. I don't know across the board what people think. I can tell you it's kind of interesting. I'm going to spend some time over the next couple of months back and forth to Washington to do briefings on some policy issues that people wouldn't normally associate with me, but it's something that I work in on inside of a think tank. And it's related to how we actually manage risk in the United States, right? And a lot of those kinds of things. And I find it pretty interesting that I can't find anybody on Capitol Hill that cares what the administration thinks. I mean, they just don't care. And that's from both sides, Democrat and Republican alike. Democrats are a little more respectful of that. And we're going to go do some briefings to people inside the administration as well to talk to them about it. And again, what I do most of the time in today's world is not something that is like pro or con. I'm not there as a Republican or a Democrat. We're there to just explain what policy impacts will be if you do X, Y will happen, and analyze what that actually means. Okay, but in the midst of us setting up briefings and beginning to talk to people about a whole good number of issues, some of them really important around the world, right? Like fertilizer supplies, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody cares what the administration thinks about that issue because they don't think that they have anything to do with it and they have no capacity to manage such a complex problem. We honestly still don't have a shortage of fertilizer in the world. We just have a shortage of fertilizer that's moving in certain varieties to certain places in the world. But nobody seems to be able to get a grip on it, and yeah, so be it.
It's just the crippling of the infrastructure.
Yeah.
The resources are plentiful.
Yeah.
It's just whether you have access to where they're at or not.
Yeah, the resources are the same or higher than they were.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the meltdown of the logistic system that's the real issue here. And I'm afraid that the puppet masters have really got that down to a complete art at the moment around the world. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind. I've just been into a supermarket, actually, and, you know, that we are now starting to see bare shelves. And this is going to get worse and worse. And as, you know, you say about the fertilizer sort of shortage, Jay, I can tell you, in the UK, there is a severe shortage of nitric oxide, of nitrogen, and this is going to cause some real issues in terms of feeding our own country. And I'm pretty sure that's going to happen with you as well. So we'll wait and see what the real impact is probably 3 months away from all of us.
Next week, guys, when women cannot find tampons, all hell's going to break loose. That's all it's going to take.
When did that little gem sneak?
No, that's the new. I've actually had a couple of family members ask us to buy them when we could so that they could pick them up when they came through.
I know. It's become this major problem.
Yeah.
No tampons? And what's the reason for that? Can you tell me what that might be?
Two manufacturers apparently have shut down, and they're saying that they have supply chain issues, and one is ramped up but can't keep up.
Yeah. Meanwhile... it was kind of
going to be a very difficult. It's going to be a very difficult period, isn't it? Then
yes,
that might be your best one-liner ever, Andrew.
No, 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 yeah. No. So, sorry, but the thing is, I'm a man, and I'm going to get slated for that. But
because you can't relate.
Oh my goodness!
Every 28 days, Andrew, you just caused agony.
Yeah, this is the point, Andrew, where we just scream in your face because we have a differing view. Not
you don't get it. You're a white man.
Yeah,
you just don't understand.
Yeah, you're just a white man, you British imperialist. So,
yeah. Well,
no.
Well, you know what? One of the woke guys on our TV then tried to defend himself and said when he was younger, he understood what these other people are feeling because he got tanned and people started to be racist against him and accuse him of being black. Well, he has had the biggest roasting on social media, and so he should have had that you could ever had. What I just said was a joke. That's all it was. I know.
Yeah. No, still, it's funny. You know,
my two daughters heard me saying that, I tell you what, I'd be in the doghouse for months.
Maybe.
There you go. It was a joke.
We understand. We don't think it's anything other than that.
Hey, just own it.
I am
it was very clever. I give you kudos. Own it. Go forward. Yeah.
I thought it was interesting, though. So here's a funny thing, right, for people to think about when you're involved in social media. And I'm not canceled for the moment on anything. I was canceled for a long time on
Twitter.
and I got my feeds were being suppressed on Facebook, but I think I'm back to almost normal. I wrote one line yesterday on a post and then deleted the post, right? I didn't even keep it up that mentioned this tampon shortage and the fact that it's just another supply chain issue. Immediately pops up on my feed a company out of Georgia called Flex, that these ladies have created an alternative to tampons, which is some, I don't even understand it, right? I didn't watch enough of the video because I just realized really quickly this is not for me, but it's some kind of alternative and that it's a reusable system that women can use, et cetera, et cetera. I don't understand it. I don't need to. I'm married to a 60-year-old woman, right? And so there's really not a lot of value in any of this conversation for me. But with that...
The thing is, hang on, wait a minute. It'll be some form of diaper, won't it? It'll be a diaper of some description.
Something.
And so maybe they'll have to wear what the they diaper. Call it.
Well,
they might have to wear one of those diapers that some of the elderly wear now to stop themselves from wetting themselves. I would have thought there's lots of wear around ways.
You know, the other option is just be pregnant.
Now it's and the new. You guys did see? You guys no. Wait.
Have you got something to tell us? Trent, have you got something to tell us? Is that? Have you got something to tell us, or is everything okay?
I got nothing to tell you.
No,
I'm just making a factual statement. The other option is to be pregnant. That's just it's the ultimate truth.
But you guys did see what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez actually
no, I did not
calls
see
this whole
she
process.
Said.
She calls the Roe v. Wade the forced birth supporters.
Oh, nice.
That's her new term.
Is this the lady that cried on her knees at the cages of children that she said were being... the same person that's just never been anywhere near the border over the last 2 years, where we're seeing the biggest incursion of trafficking of children and women in history. Is that the same AOC?
That one.
She's got about as much credibility as Hunter Biden, in my book. Zero.
She's got big teeth, though.
Big what?
Yes.
Teeth.
I just want to clarify, everybody listening, know that teeth. Jay said teeth. Yes.
Teeth. It's either teeth or feet. I can't remember, but I think it's teeth. Yeah.
They almost rhyme. Anyway.
Yeah.
This is going to be a long minute in this segment.
Yeah, it is.
Well, hang on. Trent, can you just tell me what other things? Because, you know, you seem to have shortages in things we're not having shortages in. What other things are you having shortages in America or coming? What little gems do you know about?
Well, the diesel fuel additive business is toast.
Yeah.
If you're relying on diesel to get from A to Z in your everyday travels, good luck to you, because I'm talking to diesel manufacturers, diesel additive components companies, Lucas Oil. It doesn't sound good. And I'm not sure what's going on with hydraulic oil. I do know that there are components that all petroleum manufacturers are struggling to get access to. And so the infrastructure for fuel, as I'm sure once again tomorrow, J.C. Cole will be telling us right here, I told you to get 3-year supply of diesel a year ago. Yeah, that time is now. Hey, the time is here. We will not talk about tampons or big teeth in the last segment of Rural Route today, and it's happening after this. As a cattleman, margins are tight. You need to do everything you possibly can to get the best return on the investment. Hey, look, we just need to get the return of our investment in the cattle business. But there's an option for you to get paid properly, closer to the consumer's food dollar. There's going to be so many changes in the future of the food business. The one thing you can count on is that people in a regional area are going to look for their market, and they're going to look for their supply. Lone Creek Cattle Company operates out of the state of Nebraska. It works with the Great Plains region, does market beef around the world, but there's no reason to look beyond the Great Plains cattlemen to be a part of the supply chain for the certified Piedmontese system, using the Piedmontese bulls to garner a tender beef consumption. That's what it's all about, and we need you to be a part of the system. Details about being a part of the supply chain for certified Piedmontese at LoneCreekCattleCo.com. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce, alongside Jay Truitt, Andrew Henderson. Before we get lost in the weeds again, Jay, I hope you're going to be home the first weekend of August. I have a speaking engagement in Springfield.
Bingo. Yeah, I should be home that weekend. Yeah.
It's only been like a year and a half since I told you I'm coming down there, Jay. I'm going to come.
Right.
Make sure you're there. Yep. Don't be in D.C. when I come to Southwest Missouri.
I shouldn't be in D.C. in August because I think everybody in D.C. is going to be somewhere else. So maybe that's the good time to go.
Oh, yeah, that would be the good time to go. Does that mean that Senator Deb Fischer will be back in Nebraska and I can tell her that she's a horrible senator representing the views of the people of Nebraska and that she's accumulating too much wealth as an elected official?
Oh, I'm guessing the first 2 weeks of the month, though, that she will travel to some faraway land to study some issue that just demands the attention of the senator from Nebraska. There's a reasonable chance it'll be a pretty place to attend, not Pakistan and Yemen.
Siberia.
Yeah.
Well, she should go study what's going on in Siberia.
It should be easier
for
to understand. 20
years.
Yeah. It'd be easier to understand a couple of her policy options if she'd do that. The first 2 weeks, I'm guessing she and her staff will be gone. And then somewhere towards the end of the month, she'll sneak into a local county fair somewhere and sneak right back out and then back to D.C. So that she can keep her yard and garden pretty in Georgetown. So
when you go to D.C., Jay,
yeah.
Over the last 2 years, is it just my perception or is it a bit of a ghost town these days compared to what it was 3 years ago? Would you still say that? Because I keep hearing people say that Washington D.C. is like London. It's almost dead. London is a really weird place to visit. Now, the center of London is just there's nobody there. It's really quite surreal. Is that the same in D.C.?
It's as of late, it's been more populated than it was for about 2.5 years. It was empty. Yeah. And right. it was eerie, honestly. I lived there, right, for a good number of years, for a couple decades almost, and commuted there even for another 6 or 7 years, every single week, Monday to Friday kind of thing. And you get used to the hustle and bustle and the traffic and all of those sorts of things. You still have the traffic issues just because it's always overwhelmed in certain places there, but no, it's a, you can walk down the street sometimes and not see anyone on your block at all, you know? And these are big blocks, right? They're not like a normal city block. These are blocks that are 200 yards long.
I've been to DC, but when I went there, it was bustling. I mean, I loved the city in those days. It was beautiful. I mean, but every time I see videos now, it seems like it's deserted. And, I was just trying to get your take on that. What is happening? Who are in all these office buildings? Have people come back or are they working from home? That was the sort of tone of the question, really.
Well, the other side of the issue is that D.C. has become a bit of a dangerous place to hang out in a lot of neighborhoods again.
Yeah.
They had a mayor named Anthony Williams, was a really interesting dichotomy of a guy. You know, he was a young black kid that had got on a motorcycle, started across the United States when he got out of college just to kind of figure out what he wanted to do, ended up working on a farm outside of St. Louis, Missouri, for a few years and decided that milking cows wasn't what he wanted to do, right? That's okay. I can understand not everybody wants to do that. But he didn't do it for like 3 weeks and decide that. He did it for 3 years and decided, hey, listen, this is not what I want my life to be about. He went back, ran to be the mayor of D.C., and because that was his home, and he cleaned the city up, and he cracked down on crime. He got a handle on things, and D.C. became this great place to live and work. It was clean. Right. The drug dealers still existed, but they didn't hang out on the street, right? I mean, they weren't just, like, stopping and doing drug deals in the middle of the street. People weren't walking around with guns hanging out of their back belt, you know, threatening to shoot anybody that didn't belong on that block kind of thing. And sadly, honestly, Anthony Williams is maybe the only good mayor that Washington, D.C. has had in the last 70 years. Before that was a bunch of crooks, and after that has been a bunch of corrupt and useless leftists. And now we're back into that mode where Northeast D.C. is dangerous to be in. Parts of Adams Morgan are dangerous to be in. Even parts of DuPont Circle, you know, you want to go just so far from the circle and then you want to stop and go back to your towards your hotel. And that's really unfortunate, right? And the whole southeastern part and down by the Navy Yard has just gotten really rough. And it doesn't matter whether you're black, white, brown, yellow, green, whatever race you may happen to be. It can be a really dangerous place for you to be if you don't know where you are. And don't know where you should be, you should have somebody kind of guide you around and make sure that you don't get off in the wrong parts of town. It is still a great, and listen, I'm a big advocate. People should go to D.C. and see the nation's capital, especially if you think you hate it with every fiber of your existence and you don't like anything about it. It will help you understand the complexity of the system just to see it with your own eyes.
As long as you visit Arlington National Cemetery while you're there and go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Right. You should see it all, though, and see it in perspective. Go to the memorials. I recommend actually going on the tours at night when you can. But again, in a rough environment, that's a little more of a challenge than it used to be. But just make sure that you walk around the Capitol and talk to people, talk to everyone. Most people will stop and talk to you. You'll see people that you see on TV. Stop them and introduce yourself.
No. I want to go back there and see I know I went to Toronto not too long ago, just before COVID, and I was very disappointed in how Toronto had evolved over the last 15 years. I hope I don't find the same thing in DC, because it does worry me the way that the liberals, or globalists as I would call them, have started to really facilitate the erosion of great cities.
Yeah, and Andrew, I will say this. We like to monitor the people that come from the United Kingdom there, because once you burn the place, right? And so we're still a little antsy about that. So if you see some trepidation, you'll understand where that comes from.
And you still regularly wear red. So I'm just saying.
Hey, and you call football something else.
Jay, two weeks ago on this very program, Kim Brimmer joined us, and Kim has not joined us for a while, but she was just fresh home from a trip to D.C., and she wasn't talking as much about the city itself, but she was talking about visiting legislators and visiting the Congress while it was in session. She said it was awful. In fact, they've got chased out with permission. They got into the balcony, and then they got chased out of the balcony within 5 minutes of being seated. And if you don't have a Capitol Police escort at all times, you're not permitted to go here. You're not permitted to go there. She said she's been going to D.C. for now 10 years, and this was just the most horrible experience.
It's true. It is more difficult.
Which leads me to the last bit of information. Does anybody know what happened to the sergeant in arms yesterday? Was he shot, or did he just die?
I have no idea.
But that's very interesting, because today there's supposed to be some very big information. They've reconvened one of their fake trials, and they're going to be putting it on your TV at 2 o'clock. So I wonder what they think they've got this time that's going to be lied about to the whole nation and the whole world.
Well, the sergeant of arms would have been the one person that was in the middle of all the conversations about what to do before the riot, and right up to the point that the riot began, or what they call the riot, the incursion. I don't care what you call it. I don't even care if you call it an insurrection. It's all irrelevant terminology, honestly.
Yeah.
To me, I realize what it means in the bigger sense of things, but to me, none of the words actually really matter because I realize it's all political spin. But this is one of those issues we're never going to learn all the real facts.
I just call it the latest Hollywood major feature film.
Yeah, right.
I'd agree with you. I'd agree with you both on that. I think, sadly, we all know there's two sides to that, and the public are only being told one side. That's what's wrong at this point. But I have a feeling the other side will have their day in the not too distant future as well. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. 1 minute. What do we need to make sure people think about in the next week? First, you get your role, Jay.
States' rights. What people need to think about is, what are you going to do as a result? How are you going to engage at your state level and the local level? And have you already prepared yourself for that? If you haven't, get prepared to do it. Find out who your state rep and state senator is and call those people, state senator in the case of Nebraska. So just make that happen. Engage in that process. Go to these little town hall local meetings that they do, period. That's my minute.
Andrew.
I want people to see if they can read about and understand the great plant-based con and then start to really help us get that message out to the rest of the world that the farmers are the answer and the solution to a successful future for mankind.
That'll do it. By the way, I want to echo the state's rights. That's what we've been talking about since the authoring of the Constitution. And in fact, this is not a good time to bring it up, but it might foster a discussion for next week. We were told the South would rise again. Is that what's happening? We'll pick it up right there, Jay Trout, next week. For Jay Trout, Andrew Henderson, Trent Luce, we all three remind you that all roads do lead to a rural route. Once again, let's talk about this weekend. Before you get to the weekend, July 1 and 2, High Plains Cattle Supply and Armory. I'm looking at a picture on the website for High Plains. It's the Faith, Freedom, and Firearms. It's 17.76%. Where did Robert come up with that number? Off. All ammunition. And with the purchase of ammunition, you get a free pocket Bible and free pocket Constitution. You can use that on Andrew, too. Not the ammunition, the Constitution. And don't forget bridgingamerica.us Keystone on Monday.